A couple of weeks ago, I was away for a while and went up to, with my family, went up to New York to visit with my dad and to visit with my daughter Elizabeth and her husband Danny in Connecticut and to spend some time there. But what we also did was make a trip to Long Island. My youngest daughter, Rebecca, is interested in doing some graduate work in planetary science, specifically kind of planetary geology. And she's been looking at different schools that offer that kind of graduate work. And we heard about a program, actually through one of her professors at UNC Charlotte, that earned his doctorate at Stony Brook on Long Island. Some of you may know Stony Brook, Long Island. So we decided, let's stop there and take a visit, which we did. So we landed in LaGuardia and rented a car and headed on out to Stony Brook. If you know that neck of the woods, it's about an hour from LaGuardia. But on the way, I suggested that we make a stop at my old college, which was called Cathedral College. It was located in Douglaston, Queens, if you know Queens. It was in Douglaston. I spent 4 years there. And we did. It's been 40 years since I graduated. This was like traumatic, this experience. But we went there and spent some time. Cathedral College was a full college when I went there. It was for folks thinking about becoming priests, doing discernment. Nowadays, it's a house of formation, and those who live there study at local colleges and universities. So a little bit of a different experience than when I was there. But we went there and wanted to show my family around and see the school. And one of the things I looked forward to actually was seeing the chapel. The chapel there is, when we walked in, my daughter said to me, "Boy, this looks a lot like St. Paul's." It probably had an influence on me when we designed this worship space. But it's in the round square altar and lots of different kinds of things. But in the chapel, there is a chapel off the chapel, which is meant for kind of quiet prayer, contemplation. There used to be sort of pillows on the floor, chairs as well. It was also the space where the Eucharist was reserved. There was a tabernacle in there. As you know, we reserve the Eucharist in our tabernacle here. Some churches have different ways of doing that. Sometimes a tabernacle is like where ours is. Sometimes it's behind a main altar. Some of them are very elaborate and gold and decorated. Some are in another part of a worship space, and sometimes they're in a separate little chapel. And that's in my college, that's where the Eucharist was reserved, in this little chapel. Back then, I was discerning a vocation to the priesthood, and this was the early 70s, and used to spend, not to sound holy or something, but I used to spend a lot of time in that chapel, particularly at the end of the day. I'd go down there around 11 o'clock at night and just sit and just sort of gather myself and somehow be in God's presence. When you spend time in prayer or quiet time or meditation, wherever you are, you may find that the signs and symbols around you kind of get etched in your mind, whether it's out in the woods, whether it's at a lake, whether it's at the beach, whether it's at the mountains, or whether it's in a space that's somehow designated as a place of prayer. Those symbols speak to you. And in this chapel where the Eucharist was reserved, the tabernacle was actually a globe. Was the earth. And the door would open, the Eucharist reserved there, and the sense of a globe, the earth. Remember that symbol speaking very powerfully to me. You know, that symbol of Jesus' presence in our midst, being kind of at the center, feeding, nourishing, this bread of life, feeding and nourishing the world. It's a very powerful symbol for me, and I remember that etched in my mind. And today's gospel speaks of the bread of life. Jesus, I am the bread of life. What a powerful symbol. So I was visiting the school with my family, and there was a security guard there and in the building, and he said, "Can I ask you, you know, what group you're with? Are you here with any group?" I said, "No, I'm just here with my family." I said, "I graduated from here years ago," and just kind of taking a walk through. And he said, "Oh, well, you know, just wander around, you know, have a good time." And I said, "I particularly want to see the chapel, you know, in the back there. Oh, yeah, yeah. He said, well, you might be glad to know that they did away with that crazy globe that was in there. You know, that was so 70s. And so it was removed, and there's something more appropriate in there now. So I just looked at it and said, oh, okay. Even though those 70s shaped my priesthood, but okay. So I went in there, and sure enough, it was gone, and there was an elaborate gold kind of, you know, which was very attractive, very, very appealing. But that sense of the world, creation, the bread of life, nourishing and feeding, spoke very powerfully to me and came to my mind at this gospel reading today. A couple of weeks ago, Toni preached, and there's a phrase she used that really struck me. It was the phrase, Jesus didn't come to teach us what to believe, but Jesus came to show us how to live and how to love. So it's a simple phrase. Jesus didn't come to tell us what to believe, but how to live and how to love. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is there to feed this hunger that we have, this hunger that the world has, this hunger we have throughout our lives as we search in our lives for meaning. What's it about? Where's my life going? I don't think that's just something that happens for me in the 1970s when I was in college, but it's part of our journey as we go through our lives. And sometimes we don't want to go there. There's something in our lives, we feel a sense of brokenness, and we struggle with that as we try to figure, you know, how to either go into that or just stay away from that. So often we fill our lives with things that prevent us from really engaging with that struggle, with those dimensions of our lives that are hungering and searching and perhaps hurting. There's a priest, a monk, who is a member of a Benedictine community in California. I've been looking the last few months. I'm always looking around if there's places to go on retreat to, and for some reason I'm always drawn to these monastic kind of communities. This is a Kamal Dalese community, it's called. You may have never heard of that, the Kamal Dalese. It's a form of Benedictine tradition where the monks actually live as hermits. I know that sounds far-fetched. They live as hermits, but they get together for prayer and worship. And there's a priest, and they also do retreats in churches and parishes. But this one priest, I was led to his talk he gave in a parish. Parenthetically, this community is in this morning's paper. There's a big article about Big Sur, California, and this is a community that's right in Big Sur. And, of course, they're advertising as a place to stay. I think you may be disappointed if you're looking for entertainment, things to do, but it's a wonderful place. But this one monk was giving a talk, and I saw it online. I was listening to it. And he talks of this idea of how we search for things. We search to fill our lives with things. And so often, right after that thing is attained to fill it, we're hungry again. We're searching again. That endless effort to fill our lives. And what is that? What is that in our lives? He uses the phrase, I love this phrase, never heard it put this way before. Each of us has a gap. There's a gap in our lives. And that if you really want to enter into the spiritual journey, you need to go into the gap. You need to enter into that experience. Not just fill it with other sorts of things to distract us, but to enter into that gap. But it's something we can be afraid to do. He shared a thought in his talk, which I want to share with you to kind of wrap this kind of all together. He's talking about the story of creation, you know, the story of creation. And what he did was refer to, in the Jewish tradition, the rabbis would comment on the stories of Scripture, almost embellish them and feed from them and tell stories from them. But the story is told of creation, how God creates all of creation and is in the garden. Remember the story of the garden with Adam and Eve. And he uses the image of God arm in arm with Adam and Eve walking through the garden. The garden being the symbol of the dream and the vision of God's creation, living in the fullness of it. Let's picture arm in arm. The story is that eventually, you remember the story, Adam and Eve, something happens, whatever that is, and they leave the garden. Some use the phrase original sin. There's different phrases used, whatever that means, but they're gone. And the rabbis tell the story of how God, the Creator, comes to that spot every day to take the walk with Adam and Eve in the garden. And he comes that one day and Adam and Eve aren't there. He looks around. And you hear in Genesis, in the story of Genesis, this wonderful mythic language, what's the first thing that God the Creator says? What are the first words that God the Creator speaks? Do you remember? Where are you? Where are you? Read Genesis. First words we hear God speak. Where are you? And the rabbis say God is standing at that spot, saying to Adam and Eve, where are you? Where are you? We are Adam and Eve. You know, that story is not just a story of something that happened, but it's something that is happening. That this wondrous creating God longs for us, standing in the garden waiting for us. Where are you? Where are you? So often we think that God has to somehow, we're waiting for God, but God's waiting for us. And this wondrous creating God sends Jesus into the world. And what is Jesus always saying to people? Come, follow me. Walk with me. I want to take you to that place. I want you to meet this wondrous creative God who sent me into the world. Come with me. Walk with me. Trust me. I am the bread of life. I will feed you. I will nourish you. And to pick up on that phrase that Tony used a couple of weeks ago, Jesus didn't just come to tell us what to believe, but how to live and how to love. Jesus didn't leave this pages and pages of teaching. He left us food. He left us bread. He left us wine. Come, eat of this bread, drink of this cup. I am the bread of life that will nourish you and nurture you and encourage you and be with you as you come follow me to meet this wondrous creating God who stands in the garden where there is no gap and says to us, where are you? I'm waiting.